attending Central Michigan University. Good to have her home for a few days. And Sat, we miss you. These college kids are around. Give them a hand. Give her another hand. Yeah. And that. So that's great. You know, these kids grow up around here, and then they go off to college somewhere, and it's always great to see them come home, and especially as they serve the Lord in that. So it's always a special time of the year. If you got your Bible, take your Bible there and open it to Luke chapter 2. I want to share these verses with you this morning. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verse 10 to verse 14. We've taken quite a bit of time here at the end of November, 1st of December, to talk about the Christmas story. And I want to share something with you out of Luke 2, and I just titled this today, The Gospel of Christmas. And the word gospel means good news. It's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these verses right here, gives us several reasons why the gospel is the good news. And we need to understand that and look behind the reason of what the scripture says and why God put that in the Bible. When you think about it, we're going to read about here in this text that the angels came and announced the birth of the Savior, the coming of the Savior, and that. But if you really think about it, you know, you and I have something special that the angels do not have. They had not sinned, and they did not have the opportunity for salvation. You and I do. You and I have an opportunity to be saved. You and I have an opportunity to be born again, saved by the blood of Christ. And so the good news, there are several reasons given here in this text of Scripture that talks about the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And so when you think about it today, yeah, the angelic host is very special, but you and I, as God gives us the Scripture, there's some things that are very special for you and I in here too that we want to be able to see. So look at it in your Bible, Luke's Gospel chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As you look here in this text of Scripture, it's interesting that the first thing I want you to see in this text of Scripture is found right here in verse 10 when it talks about, And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Think about that word, fear not. The gospel is the good news because it banishes fear. Fear is a horrible thing, you know, when you think about it, to live and to go through life and to fear something. You and I, as a believer in Christ, and once you get saved and once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought not to live in fear. Here's the angel comes to announce the good news of the gospel. The first thing that he says is, fear not. And so when you and I get saved by the blood atonement of Christ and we have forgiveness of our sins and cleansed, the first thing we need to understand, we should be able to live our lives and live them not living in fear. And so when we realize that one of these days, you know, death is going to come to all of us, death is a part of life and it's a reality of life, but we ought not to fear death, and we can prepare ourselves for eternal life. And so when you look at it here in Scripture, the gospel, the good news of the gospel, eliminates the fear, takes away the fear. And if you really think about it, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as your faith is strong in Christ, it removes and eliminates that fear. You know, I remember down through the year, I've made, I don't know, thousands and thousands of hospital calls and trauma center calls and that, and every once in a while I'll walk in somewhere and somebody is facing a very difficult challenge in life. They're in a major crisis, they're in a major medical crisis or whatever, I'll never forget, Joyce, your dear husband, the night he was at West Bloomfield Hospital up there at West Bloomfield. After church on a Sunday night, I drove up there to see him and in the room, and I knocked on the door, and Mason looked out the door at me, and he said, Hey, Pastor, come on in, pull up a chair. And he said, Mason, you know, he always had a little sense of humor. He said to me, he says, You're looking at a dead man. And I said, No, Mason. I said, You never know. God's not done with you yet. He can still perform a miracle. And he said, No. So, you know, Mason and I sat there and we talked for quite a while that night at West Bloomfield at the hospital, and talking about not fearing and realizing that when you're saved and your hands are in the Lord, no matter what befalls you and what comes along, you don't have to live your life in fear. And so the angels here come, but they needed some assurance. And so the Lord said to them in verse 10, to fear not. So you and I today, no matter what happens in your life, you ought not to live your life in fear. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the word of God. So your faith, once you're saved, you have faith in Christ. And your faith, the more you put the word of God into your life, the more you consume the scripture into your life, the more you understand what the Bible says into your life, it eliminates and it takes care of that issue called fear. Fear is a horrible thing. I have also stood at the bedside of loved ones, and they are people that are ready to face death, or ready to go out into eternity, and in total fear, and you can see fear in their eyes and fear in their heart. And one of the things the pastor always tries to do is to try to calm those fears and try to make sure they're saved, to make sure they know Christ, to make sure that that everything's going to be okay. That crossing over what they say, Chile, Jordan, or crossing over that other side is not such a bad thing anyway. Nobody wants to die. But we know that once you get on to heaven, it's a much better place. And so here, the gospel, the good news, is good news because it banishes fear. And your faith will banish your fear. Second thing is, look also there in verse 10. It talks about there, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So the second thought this morning is the gospel is the good news because it brings you and I great joy. Did you ever notice around Christmas time of the year that people seem to be more joyful and more happy and more, you know, and where you go places? I mean, I hear all kinds of things. I hear people saying happy holidays, and I love it when people say Merry Christmas and the Christ, and talking about the Christ child and that. But it seems to be the time of the year that people should live. And so that's the result of the good news of the gospel. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Where fear reigns in our hearts, there can be no real joy. And so what it does is, in the gospel, by having faith in Christ, fear is the greatest enemy of joy. And Christ brings into our lives all who come to Him and all who trust Him. So today, I trust that you have joy in your heart. And that joy is centered and based on your faith, based on your belief, based on your relationship to Jesus Christ. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in the world, you can be joyful, and that comes from within, and that comes from your faith that you have in Christ. Look at it here with a third thought in mind. The gospel is the good news because in verse 10 there, it said, I bring you good tidings. Notice what it says in verse 10, to all people. So the gospel is the good news because it is for everyone. The gospel is adapted to the needs of all mankind. And he's rightly described here, the book of Haggai, to the desired of all nations, you know. And it's interesting. I've had the chance to be on several mission trips over the years. And the good news, I remember the first time we had a missionary out of this church, Tom Ekus. Some of you that have been around here for a long time, Tom and Linda Ekus were missionaries out of here years ago to Mexico. And I remember that when I was pastoring in South Dakota, Tom is building a building down there. And so he needed some help on the construction of the project. So I told him, I said, Tom, I said, if you want, I said, I can get some guys here in our church in South Dakota. And I said, we will come down and help you finish that building up, take a week. And he said, that'd be great. So I'm a pilot. So I took an airplane. I took a Cherokee 6 and loaded it all up. And I had four of us in there. John Clark sat beside me. I flew the plane, and John Clark beside me, and I had two other guys with me. And I had all the tools in the back. So we get in that plane, and I take off from Sioux Falls Airport, and I fly all the way from there to El Paso, land at El Paso, go through customs, then flew from there down to Chihuahua, Mexico, landed the plane. Tom come out from the interior with the Tarahumara Indians down there, and so we loaded up in his Suburban, and we went by drive 5 hours back into the mountains of Mexico, and there we had church services. I had a chance to, there was a lady in the village there was getting ready to deliver a baby. We loaded her up in a vehicle and traveled over those mountain roads to a little clinic, and she gave birth to that baby, and we had a chance to have services, and I had a chance to preach there in Mexico. What a blessing that was. I preached in English. Tom interpreted right beside me, so I had to say something, he had to say something, and back and forth. But when we sang the songs, it was great because when we were sitting there, they were singing all the songs that I knew, and I knew the tune, and I knew everything there, but it was great. Some of the sweetest people you ever met in all the world, back in the mountains, way down in the heart of Mexico, and it was great, and we saw people get saved there. And so the good news of the gospel changes men and women's lives in all languages, of all nationalities, of all people, of all around the world. Some of the sweetest places I've ever been, down in Mexico was one, down in Haiti, in the heart of Haiti, in Port-au-Prince, there as the gospel is preaching, you gather together. I love it in Haiti. In Haiti, their first church service down there, when I was down there, was at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that went till about 9, and then they had a little bit of a break, went home, and they come back that evening at about 5 in the evening. We had church till about 11 o'clock at night, and their music service was about 3 hours long. Now, the Americans probably wouldn't go along with that, so everybody would have to leave to go to the local restaurant or whatever. But down there, we had church. When they say they're going to have church, they had church. But you know what I found out? They were singing and the joy of the Lord. I didn't understand they speak in a Creole language. It's a French and a Haitian language together. And as they spoke, I didn't understand the language, but I could look in their eyes and see on their face and see the joy of the Lord and see the happiness that was just radiant in their life and the salvation. Nothing was ever sweeter than that morning we gathered there and served the Lord's Supper. We had 13 national pastors across Haiti there and national churches and Haiti and serving the Lord's Supper. We had a large crowd in there, and it was a great opportunity. And I sat there, and as I observed that, I had the chance to preach to that crowd. And then when you think about it, the good news of the gospel is for all people of all walks of life, in Russia, in Haiti, in Mexico, in Europe, in America, and around the world. The same gospel that saves you and I here is the same gospel that saves those in Haiti and saves those in Mexico. The same Christ brings the good news of the gospel. Here's number 4. Look at it, if you will, in verse 11. The gospel is the good news because it emphasizes the value of the individual. The gospel in verse 11 is for all people, and yet it says here in verse 11, it is unto you. This gospel always emphasized the value of each individual, and you notice here that Christ has preached one of his greatest sermons. If you think about this, Christ preached many sermons, but some of his greatest sermons were preached to one person. Some of the best sermons you'll ever hear is just to one person, and Christ ministered to all. And so when you think about it today, that really the gospel as it goes forth is to individuals. It's an individual decision. You have to make an individual decision of coming to Christ. And so it's a great privilege to be able to see, whether you're in Haiti or in Mexico or here in America, to be able to hear the gospel go out, the good news go out, and people hear that, and they repent, and they have the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin, and then they come and are willing to receive Christ as their Savior. What great joy, and the good news of the gospel does that because it is geared to the individual. Look at it in verse 11. The gospel is the good news because it saves. Says here, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The primary reason for the Savior's advent was that he might be the Savior of his people. The main purpose of Christmas, the main reason why these children come up and sing, it's all about Christ and Christmas and the story of Christmas, the good news of the gospel. The good news of Christmas is to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest thing that you can ever do and ever see. And so we find the gospel here is the good news because it saves. You and I have the privilege to get saved. The angels is different, and they are a created being. So today, don't ever get over your salvation, and the joy of Christmas should center around your salvation in Christ. So think about this, if you will, number 6. Look in verse 13 and verse 14 here. The Bible talks about here, glory to God in verse 13, verse 14, glory to God in the highest. The gospel is the good news because why? It glorifies God. We are commanded, we are commissioned to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, no matter where we go, what we do, what country, what nation, as we preach the gospel, share the gospel, and even share that one, some of the greatest sermons you'll ever preach is just one-on-one to somebody else, sharing the good news, sharing the joy of the gospel. And the greatest sermon you got is your personal testimony. Take your personal testimony and when you came to Christ and go share that with somebody else. Tell them how you came to Christ, how you came under conviction, how you turned to Christ, how you got saved. And my friend today, if you don't have that testimony today, you can have that by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. The good news of the gospel at Christmas. And it is for the very reason of glorifying God. And then, if you will, the last thought is this, found in verse 14. The gospel is the good news because it gives real and lasting peace. It says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The gospel is the good news because it gives real and lasting peace. Good to see the Mervin family in here today. Yesterday, we gathered together right here in the sanctuary to have a memorial service for Bob Mervin. Bob Mervin's been a friend of mine for 50 years. And it's really hard. You know, if you think about when Bob's in a Wednesday night Bible study or in Sunday school or when I talk to him here, you never know when it's going to be your last conversation with somebody that you're talking to. Had we known that, maybe we would have said something different. But I always enjoy my times with Bob and meeting him and shaking hands, talking to him and seeing him in church. But you never know when you leave and you go out that door, that could very well be the last time you'll see that person come. So when you think about it, I do know this, that Bob was looking forward to seeing his Savior. Didn't know when. He was looking forward to going to heaven. Didn't know when. And a little surprised, you know, and I don't think he knew when. But other than the fact that when it was time, it's time. Think about Shirley Howard, and those of you that don't know, if you remember in our congregation, Shirley Howard, Louis and Shirley Howard was a member here for many, many years. Louis's already in heaven, but Shirley passed away the other day from Alzheimer's, dementia, long-term health issues. Her visitation is today at Griffin Funeral Home on Ford Road from 2 o'clock to 6. So if you know the Howard family, even if you don't know the Howard family, go by and see the family. Let them know that you're a member here at First Baptist or you attend First Baptist. Just want to come by and say hi. Let them know you're praying for them and give them an encouragement. You don't have to stay long. Just sign the guest book and let them know you're praying for them. But Shirley's in heaven today. That funeral service will be in the morning. Be a visitation here at the church at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. Then the service will be at 11 here. And tomorrow we'll celebrate Shirley's life and family as they gather together here. But you know what it does? It gives everlasting peace. When you accept Christ, the peace that passeth all understanding. And here in this verse 14 in this text, the Bible talks about the gospel is the good news because it gives real and lasting peace. Jesus is our peace, and He alone can make peace. And the angel spoke here of peace on earth, and how will this be brought about? And so peace that passeth all understanding comes. And so here you are, these thoughts today, if you think about it. The gospel is the good news because it banishes fear. The gospel also is the good news because it brings great joy and happiness to you and I. The gospel is also the good news because it is for everyone, of all walks of life, for every person, of every nationality, of every kindred, of every person, of every walk of life. God is interested in people and humanity. The gospel is the good news because it emphasizes the individual. It's the gospel is the good news because it saves, it glorifies God, and it gives to you and I everlasting peace. What about you, my friend? If you took your last breath right now, do you have internal peace? Do you have that peace that passeth all understanding? And that peace can only come through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, I'm just going to ask you today, my friend, if you took your last breath right now, this moment, today, do you know for sure that you'd have eternal life? Do you know that you have this peace that passeth all understanding? The gospel goes across the entire world. We are one nation, of one kindred. All of our families come through the lineage and through the line of Adam and Eve. I don't know about you, but I always get troubled about all the evils of the world today and the racism of the world today and trying to divide us as a people today. God tries to unify us today and to bring us together because God loves people. And my purpose today in trying to share this message with you is the good news of the gospel is to bring everlasting peace. And if you've never trusted Christ today, you can do that right now, this moment, right where you sit today, and you can ask Christ into your heart if you're not saved. If you want to do that today, just pray this prayer between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No amount of good works will get me to heaven. So God, today I confess my sin. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for eternal life. And God, I desire this peace that passeth all understanding for the promise and the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, if you look up here today, and if you will, if you accepted that and today in Christ in your heart, you'll have a peace, a joy that comes from only knowing Him. And the good news of the gospel is just what we said, is for you and I, individually, of all people, of all walks of life, of all nationalities, of all people, all countries, all lands around the world. The joy of Christmas, the gospel of Christmas, the good news, the saving grace. I don't know about you, but it would be very, very difficult to gather here together and to do funerals for people that did not know God, did not know Jesus Christ, because they have no peace, they have no joy, they have no faith, they have nothing to hang on to. Life goes beyond the grave. Life goes on. The Bible says that when we die, we are asleep waiting the resurrection day. And one of these days, He's coming back. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So I pray you have a great Christmas. And the great news and the good news of the gospel is the joy and the happiness that comes through peace and salvation in Jesus Christ. And that joy within comes from Him. Brother Ron.
Everybody that knows me knows I have a very, very soft spot for kids. And now we have three grandkids, and we really love those little guys. And now our little Avery's going to be 2 years old in February, and that is so hard to believe. And I've learned that I'm thankful that God gave us kids while we're young, because after a few hours with Avery, we are wore out. And I don't know how young parents do it today, but my son is 30 years younger than me. But I want all the kids to come up here and stand right up here in front of me, if you will. And we're going to do a song that talks about kids. So kids, come on up here and stand. You don't have to go that far. You can just come right over here, buddy. Come right up here and stand. I love these little kids. They're so beautiful. So gorgeous and handsome and, man. So kids, what we're going to do is this. I'm going to sing a song to you, for you, and then we're going to do some gift giving. Tammy's going to come up wherever she's at and help me hand out some gifts. So let's, we got some more coming up. Come on up. All the kids should come up. Ashley, send those kids up here. Where's she at? Come here. Come on up here. Oh, my goodness. Ashley, how do you guys say no to them? You can't, can you? Jensen, you can't say no. You guys stand right there so they can see you, okay? Oh, man. All right, here we go. One, two, three.
If it weren't for kids, have you ever thought there wouldn't be no Santa Claus? Look what the storm just brought, thank God for kids. We'd all live in a quiet house without Big Bird or a Mickey Mouse, and Kool-Aid on the couch, thank God for kids. Thank God for kids, there's magic for a while. A special kind of sunshine in a smile. Do you ever stop to think or wonder why? The nearest thing to heaven is a child. Daddy, how does this thing fly? And 100 other where's and why's. I really don't know, but I try. Thank God for kids. When I look down in those trusting eyes that look to me, I realize There's love that I can't buy. Thank God for kids. Thank God for kids and magic for a while. A special kind of sunshine in a smile. Do you ever stop and think or wonder why? The nearest thing to heaven is a child. When you get down on your knees tonight and thank the Lord for His guiding light, pray they turn out right. Thank God for kids. Thank God for grandkids too.
Sarah. Did we give them extra chocolates this morning? I don't know. They are so cool. They love each other. Look at them. They're hugging. I guess that's hugging. But we got a gift for all the kids. So what we would like to do, we want all the boys on this side over on my left and all the girls over by that tree. Okay? Fifth grade and down. So if your kids are here today, fifth grade and down, so my brother-in-law, Craig, you cannot come up for a gift. All right, but if you're fifth grade and down, we want all the kids up here. They are going to get a gift. Yeah, bring them up here. I have no idea what's in these gifts. I don't know if Tammy does, but we want to make sure that everybody gets a gift. So what I'm going to do is we'll start with the girls. So go ahead and grab one bag, and as we hand it to the girl, I'm going to ask them their name. So who do you want to go first? Here you go. What is your name?
Amber.
Amber. Merry Christmas. And here's one. Here, what's your name?
Sophia.
Sophia. I like your hat, Sophia. That's so cool. And who is next, Tammy?
This is right here.
Oh, I know her name, but she's going to tell me anyway.
Charlotte.
Charlotte. I'm related to her somehow. Aren't we related somehow? All right, Charlotte. And I'm related to her, too. What's your name?
Taya.
Oh, she's so gorgeous. All right, who's next? Oh, look at these three girls in the red. Man. What is your name? Here we go. What is your name?
Cece.
Cece. And your name?
Izzy.
Izzy. And your name?
Kenzie.
Kenzie. How did I know there was going to be a Z in there? And then what is your name?
Yoma.
Yoma. Yoma had the big responsibility of day of holding baby Jesus, and you did wonderful. Let's give all these girls a hand. They did great. Okay, guys, are you ready for a gift? Who wants the first gift? You raised your hand first. Come on over here. He raised his hand first. What is your name?
Jiro.
Man, nice sport coat. I wish that was my size. And I know this little guy. What is your name?
Fernando.
All right, what is your name?
Brendan,
there you go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
Matthew.
Man, he's jumpy, isn't he, Sarah? And what is your name?
Christian,
all right. And then this little guy in the tie here, what's your name?
Luke,
all right. Luke, is that what it is, Luke? Okay. And your name?
Jimmy,
so relaxed, so calm. What is your name?
Jackson,
okay. And I think that's it. Oh, wait, here's one more. What is your name?
Boo.
Brad, is that how you taught him to talk? What's your name again?
Boo.
All right. All right, listen, they did a phenomenal job today. They practiced. Give them all a big hand. You can go sit down, guys and gals. Give them all a big hand. It has been a great day working with, I've been loving working with these kids every week. They are just so cool. And Diana and all the teachers and Laura and all of them that work with them every week, they do such a great job. They've got the biggest responsibility in this church in taking care of our children and making sure that they're taught the Word of God, and we thank them all for that. So I'm going to ask Pastor if he'll come up and just say a dismissal prayer. Thank you all for coming. Merry, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, give them all a hand, would you? Yeah. Amen. Merry Christmas to all of you. Today is the 19th. We will have a service tonight at 6. But let me share with you next, and there will be a midweek service on Wednesday night, but next Sunday, next weekend is Christmas. Saturday is Christmas. So we will have a Christmas Eve service here on Friday at 4 o'clock, and we will do some of it by candlelight. We also will be serving the Lord's Supper during the Christmas Eve service. We want to encourage you to bring a friend and come for that. And then next Sunday, we will just have the one morning worship service at 10:45 the day after Christmas. So there won't be any Sunday school or no Sunday night service. And trust that you have a great Merry Christmas. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for Brother Ron, for Diana, for Lori, for all the workers that had a part, and Gracie and all those that had a part in putting all this together. Thank you for the praise band. Thank you for the music. God, most of all, thank you for children. Thank you for the gospel going out and the good news of the gospel today and the joy of knowing Christ as our Savior. God, we pray you'll give these families a very Merry Christmas and a joyful Christmas. They'll enjoy their time together. And God, just have your hand upon each and every one today. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Good to see you in church. You're dismissed. They did good, Brad. They did good. You got it.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year.